Good morning, Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. It's a Thursday. It's Halloween. We've got football questions coming up with the Thursday touchdown at 6:35. We have the asking price for one of the pass rushers on the market. Will Brad Holmes be willing to make the move? We'll get to that at 6:50. John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Did you see the World Series last night?
I saw some of the highlights.
Oh, you saw some highlights. You didn't watch it? I mean, it was 4-0 at one point. The Yankees, the evil umpire, were up. Gerrit Cole's on the mound. They put a graphic on the screen that he's 44-1. The Yankees are 44-1 with a 4-run lead. And then all of a sudden, the Dodgers come roaring back to win the World Series to finish the baseball season. And you didn't watch?
No, John, I was watching something else.
Oh, what were you watching? What were you doing last night?
I'll get to it in a second. Pistons won. I wasn't watching them.
Oh, you weren't?
I wasn't watching them. I can look at a box score. They made some threes. They rebounded. They beat the Sixers without Joel Embiid. Hey, I don't really care. Find a way to win. Pistons finally get their first win of the season.
Oh, did you go to the LCA thinking that you were going to see the Pistons last night?
You know, I actually would have been an upgrade.
For the first win. Well, it would have been an upgrade because they won. I'm not sure it's an upgrade in overall entertainment value.
On that night, just about anything would have been.
Boo that man. So, the Pistons did win. And it was fun. Jaden Ivey, leading scorer. Can Cade and Ivey be a 1-2 punch together?
We're trying to find out.
Yeah. I mean, last night it seemed like it.
Yeah. Listen, like I said, you make some threes, you grab some boards, you avoid some catastrophic turnover, still 16 for the game. But I'm not going to lie to people. I'm reading a box score at that point. I was at the hockey game.
Oh, is that where you were?
Yeah, John. Yeah. I'm still stewing from last night. The booing, I don't know where that came from. Stewing from last night. Okay. It's well known. My wife and I, we got season tickets.
Yeah.
Not the full season, but the half season. The first two games I went to, they lost by 3 goals. Last night, they didn't lose by 3 goals. They lost by 4.
Oh.
They're down 3-0 after the first period. And those boos, yeah, I recognize those boos. They were booed off the ice after the first period.
How was the second?
Just enough to hook you back in. And then at the start of the third period, John, they wet themselves. They gave up a goal 10 seconds into the third period. And would go on to give up more goals. John, I've been to 3 games. Do you know how many games I have stayed for the entirety of? 0.
Really?
I have left early every single time. I don't say that proudly. We got the season tickets because I like watching hockey games. I like going down and watching the Detroit Red Wings. I'm not watching good hockey. I'm watching pathetic, lazy hockey. This team doesn't generate chances. They hardly possess the puck. And when they do, they can't even pass it to one another. I don't know how many neutral zone, offensive zone entries they bobbled off their own stick. Then in their own end, they don't back check. They don't mark anybody. They give up soft goals. Hey, shout out Alex Lyon. Hey, if it hits your glove, maybe you catch it next time. Petrie doesn't play the puck in his own corner 10 seconds into the third period.
Oh,
and you know how I feel about
Petrie already?
I know, John. What the hell is this? I looked it up, and I'm not surprised, but they are the worst 5-on-5 offense in hockey. Shots for, generating some kind of pressure, forcing the other goalie to make a save. They're the worst team in hockey 5-on-5.
You sound bitter.
I am. This is a joke.
So can you, let me ask this question. We'll talk more about the actual performance in a minute, but can you trade for the winning half of the games?
Well, see, that's the problem. They only have a couple wins, and when they have one, they've been bad wins. They won with 11 shots the other night, right? Was it last week? They're just not a good hockey team. And I texted you last night as I'm stewing and I get home, and I just asked a flat question. Mm-hmm. What are they good at?
So I didn't see it until this morning. I was already in bed.
And I woke up to your response.
Yeah.
What do they do well, John?
Lose. Like, I mean, they're good at that. I mean, they've done
very good at it.
They've done it in overtime. They've done it by 3. Now, most of the time when they lose, it is, by 3, right? Because they started off the year against Pittsburgh at home.
Yep.
Lost by 3.
Boot on that night as well.
Yep. They played back-to-back nights against the Rangers, one, you know, or back-to-back games.
I was at the one that they lost ugly. Also, they got booed in that game.
Yep. Yeah, lost by three.
Yeah.
And then the one on the road, they lost by three. The one here, they lost by three. Now, they showed some improvement because they lost at Buffalo, which is not improvement, but it was only by two. Then it was overtime, and then by four yesterday.
They're very skilled at losing hockey games. Yeah, I actually tweeted this last night. It was kind of my final salvo before I hit the pillow. I said, serious question, what do they do well? Let me just read you some of the responses from Red Wing fans. Lose.
That was mine.
Make us mad. Make me depressed. Make me disappointed. What do they do well? They disappoint. What do they do well? Make fans unhappy. What do they do well? Lose when you're in attendance. They are studs at that, John. They are elite at losing with me in attendance. They are phenomenal at it.
Somebody
best
actually,
in the business.
Somebody typed that out for you. Lose while you're there.
That's what he said. Andrew, this guy on Twitter. I said they're studs at it. They are remarkably talented when it comes to losing with me in attendance. And not even playing competitive. Like at one point, Kelsey turns to me and she goes, I want them to win, but can we go to a game where they only lose by one goal, where it's at least entertaining, where they're competitive?
You've been to three games, minus 10 goal differential.
I've watched more goals scored against my team than periods this season. It's ridiculous.
That's sad. Think about that. I do feel for you because, look, all this aside, you made an investment. You're a Red Wing fan. You really are a big Red Wing fan. And you and your wife made an investment, and you're just getting crapped on right now. Like, they look like the team that finished the season last year. It looks like it carried over. Guess what else, too? We're not going to put this all just on Lalonde because he's the easy target, and it's only going to be a matter of a couple weeks if they continue to play like this because they're lifeless 5-on-5. They don't stand a chance out there. The movement of the puck last night between the difference between the two teams, and the Jets are playing great right now. They're 9-1. They're playing the best hockey in the league. So
still shouldn't lose by four goals.
They made a bad team look really, really bad last night. But the Red Wings have paid guys what you would quote call max deals in the NHL with Raymond, Sider, and Larkin. They're not performing to their contract.
Well, Larkin's guess not what? A max deal.
No, but they're high-end contracts, okay?
Yeah.
They're not getting the return on investment, okay? First off, they're not stars. They never were. Sider's not a one yet. I know people want to, like, put him up there on the mountaintop. He's not. He plays like a two, okay? It's time to start playing like a one. It's time for these guys that got paid to start performing. Raymond have one goal this year?
I think two, but maybe it's only one.
I mean, they look horrendous. And they're lucky to be 4-5-1.
No, they are. That's the thing. They're 4-5-1, and they're lucky. They've won four of their first 10 games, and that's a fortunate four wins. But Tom, I know Winnipeg's better than Detroit. They shouldn't lose by four goals. That's my thing. It can't be 3-0 at the end of the first period. It can't be 2-0 5 minutes into the hockey game. It can't be.
You can't have games where you're playing 45 minutes of lifeless hockey and 15 minutes of good hockey.
Correct.
And that's what's happening. It's happening every game. I told you, I watched an Islander game last week. I've never seen a worse hockey game in my life.
The one where they had 10, 11 shots and won.
I mean, there's no fix other than you bring some Tortorella-type coach in here and try to ignite it, and if that doesn't happen, then guess what? You see what you got in the room, and you start getting it out of here.
Listen, I'll just tell you, the vibe at the game, people were not happy. Overheard several. Does Lalonde finish the night? Does he survive the night? People want to point to Lalonde, and I'm not going to defend Lalonde. I mean, but at some point you ask, Yzerman willingly brought him back with like almost stunned response at the question. Like, it was asked to him in the postseason press conference, like, where are you at with Lalonde? And his response, I'm paraphrasing, was something like, why are you even asking this? Like, why wouldn't he come back? Well, it's because you guys wet yourself down the stretch. And Tom, to your point, they're playing a lot more like that to start this season.
What was it, roughly?
But this is a cap team. This is a team right up against the salary cap. This is a team that, through all of Yzerman's moves, has assembled this roster to play this season. And maybe at some point he gets fed up and says the team's better than this and fires the coach. But at some point we have to ask, is Yzerman better than this?
Well, he paid them all. Right. They're not performing. Well, and that's that good?
That's what I'm getting at.
I don't think this team has a star. And I think that's the problem.
But they shouldn't have to have a star to make the playoffs. More than half the teams make the playoffs.
If you don't have a star in this league, you have to have a roster like the Golden Knights did, especially when they had Marchessault.
Yes.
You have to have a bunch of two-liners, and they just don't. They've got three guys, I think, who are like B-plus type players, in Raymond, Larkin, and Sider. And they need to take a step because they got paid. They need to mature. And Larkin's maxed out. Yeah. Raymond and Sider are still at that age where you have got to have patience, but it's the rest of it, man. It's like, I know Kopp has played actually okay this year, but just I'm sick of watching him. I mean, it's just, they just don't have anybody after five, six guys.
The direct quote, it was in one of the intermissions waiting in the bathroom line. Direct quote from a Red Wing fan on Derek Lalonde. He just sits over there like Humpty Dumpty. People are not happy. 248-539-9797. We start with Wings. We're certainly not going to spend a ton of time talking about this hockey team, but hey, you want to call about a Pistons win? We can make room for that. 248-539-9797. Thursday touchdown, bottom of the hour. The asking price for a pass rusher on the market is at $650. It's 97.1. Dive into the best pool in history. It's Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can catch the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Would have much rather been there last night than Little Caesars Arena. Chill in one of the six pools, three different levels, perfect view, massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. It's Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch all the big games. Swim up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with the cozy day beds, private cabanas. Grab a lounge at the center of the action, but reserve your place today. Make your plans. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today. CircaLasVegas.com. Ten seconds into the third period. Petrie can't play the puck in his zone, and Nino Niederreiter gets credit for that goal. Wings had battled back to make it a one-goal game.
Well, I'm sure at least you saw some action. Because where are your seats? You said you like your seats.
I love my seats.
You're behind. Are you behind the goal?
Lower bowl. We're kind of on the angle, but it's the shoot twice side.
Okay.
Which is only more painful because that's the side the Red Wings never shoot on. They never possess the puck enough to generate any shots. John, there were 8 goals scored in last night's hockey game.
Yeah.
How many do you think were on the side of the ice that I'm sitting on?
Well, I brought this up because I know the answer.
Zero. Zero goals. Zero scored on the side of the ice. Like, just add insult to injury. Like, it's some sick joke. I love hockey. I make an investment to go to these with my wife because it's something we share together. And they are pathetic. This hockey team is pathetic.
Well, I know you can't, you know, swap your tickets for the other half of the winning games.
Yes.
But maybe can you move your seats to the other side so that the jinx goes on the visiting team?
It'd be a good theory. Maybe they'll voluntarily move my seats. Ticket text 248-539-9797. And I promise we're not doing a cost of pity party. I speak for
fans
of this hockey team.
You're the representative of all the season ticket holders, all of the fans that have made the investment to go down because of the expectations of the season, thinking that it's going to be a run into the playoffs. Not that it's a Stanley Cup run,
no,
but that there is going to be a playoff run. The excitement, the fun that we had with the Tigers, we could do that same thing with the Red Wings. And not that they're going to win, you know, every night. That's not the thing. But even in losses, they could still play good.
They've lost by 11 goals in the games I've been to, 3 games I've been to. I've seen more goals scored against me, a worse goal differential than periods view. It's just, it's a bad product. Anyway, the way they ended the season, people interpret that one of two different ways. You remember when the season ended, there were people who said they're so close, the best is yet to come. And there were other people that said, I'm unhappy that they blew this golden opportunity, that they did not play well enough down the stretch. And there were two camps. And clearly Yzerman felt like this core was good enough, and he only made minor moves, and he clearly believed that they were close. They're not. They're not. To Tom's point, they look more like the team that faltered at the end of last season than they do a team that got a kick in the ass and are going to get better and make the playoffs this season.
So you've got the perspective of being there and seeing it firsthand. I've got the perspective of being at home. Now, obviously, they're up against the World Series last night, so a lot of people are watching the World Series, even though there's not a local team in it. But every time you flip over to the Wings, all you want to do as a viewer at home, yes, you want them to win, but you want to be entertained. It's a hard watch.
Yeah, like last year they were playing high scoring games, right? That was the one, because I asked, like, what are they good at? At least last year you could say, oh, they could score 4 or 5 in any given night and maybe
and
win.
And you never knew where it was coming from because they had so many double digit scores.
Yes. This year they don't do anything well.
And they're just very lifeless. Like, that's the thing that I find very disturbing, that that that's how they started this season after what happened at the end of last season. And it's a really tough watch. The amount of wasted time, and they're getting no pressure, no rushes in the you know, from blue line to blue line. It's just very choppy play.
It is.
They don't get rushes. They get these kind of occasional, you know, breaks where Kopp had an early shot last night in the game that he sailed over the net that was open. And there's no, like, peppering.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? It's one and done.
And it's just, I don't know, man. For people who don't pay attention to hockey this early, we are 10 games in now. So I do think it's fair to criticize what's out there. This isn't like a 2 or 3 game start to the season and you right. freak out. The
sample, over 10%.
The sample size is disturbing. And what it really lacks more than anything is this is a team that nobody, I think, likes to watch right now. Like, they don't put in the effort, it doesn't seem like.
Well, that's my point from watching at home. It's a tough watch.
Ticket texters, Lalonde needs to go. Hate to see it, but I'm already sick of watching these guys. Hashtag fire Lalonde. Cookies, will you let us know the next game you're going to? I see financial windfall coming. Money line, puck line, Tom on the ticket text. Next one I'm going to is the Islander game November 21st.
Oh.
So maybe
getting ready for Thanksgiving.
Time to cool off a little bit here. They have a West Coast trip between now and then. Is Yzerman on the hot seat finally? If they miss the playoffs, I do think there's heat. He's not going to get fired, but there should be heat. This is 6 years. This is the roster he handpicked and drafted and signed and paid. Yep. And yeah, absolutely. You can't avoid it forever. He gets extra time because he is Steve Yzerman, but he doesn't get forever. Texter says, enough of the Lalonde talk. What about the guy that employs him and put this crappy roster together? Well, there you go. Texter says, what the Wings do well, they sign average vets and safe talent in the draft so we can be stuck in mediocrity forever. Guys, can we admit Yzerman failed? It's serious talk. We need to talk about it moving forward. And one more just is one word, John.
What's that? Oh, it's carrying over. All right. I'm all for it.
Hey, as long as it ends the same way. Let's get to Heather in the news.
All right, we mentioned this already. The Dodgers won the World Series last night, beating the Yankees 7-6 in Game 5. The Yankees were up 5-0 before just this error-filled meltdown in the fifth inning allowed the Dodgers to then tie the game. Anyway, this is LA's 8th title and their first since the COVID-shortened season. And before that, they hadn't won the World Series since 1988. And this is going to be the first time in 36 years that they do get to have a World Series parade.
Yeah.
So this is cool. It's going to be going down tomorrow. Now, the game was held at Yankee Stadium, right? And there were two fans who were not in attendance.
Even
though they said originally that they were going to be allowed. Oh, they were not. The two fans that grabbed the glove and the ball from Mookie Betts during Game 4, they were banned, right? Yeah. Like, which they needed to be.
To see what they did. And one thing to, I'm not sure which is worse, to grab the glove, pry it open and try and take the ball, or to actually physically grab his non-glove hand, his throwing hand. Like, it just is unbelievable.
You know, so the Yankees said they had a zero tolerance policy for any behavior like that. Now, we are learning a little bit more about these two guys. So, it turns out that one of those fans is a college friend of none other than Rob Gronkowski.
Oh.
Yeah, so the guy in the gray jersey, Austin Campobianco, apparently went to the University of Arizona with him. And Gronkowski was just in an episode of Up and Adams with Kay Adams on Wednesday and kind of raved about this guy, right? He did eventually say that the behavior was unacceptable, but said, described this guy as a devoted sports fan, said that he is all in for his team, he's all in for the Yankees, and he remembered him even back in college just raving about the Yankees all the time, and kind of said, he goes, he's a beauty. I just want to say congratulations for shining when your moment came.
Oh, nice.
But then he did go on to say that it is unacceptable in the world of sports. So interesting, right? Learning a little bit of a backstory about these guys. In other news, a New York man was arrested in Troy for allegedly posing as a FedEx worker to steal multiple iPhone packages off of people's porches. So police say this guy wore, you know, the FedEx jacket. He had on a hat and he drove to a home in Troy and then kind of just waited around the area for several hours. And And when an iPhone package was delivered, the guy walked up to the porch. Turns out the homeowner had grabbed it pretty quickly, so that package was gone. But that homeowner had left behind a Mac Pro laptop right there on the porch. So he was returning it.
Most of the time, you have to be there to sign for it.
But he was returning it.
Oh, so it
was like waiting to be picked up by the delivery driver. So he grabbed that, took off. Well, police were already watching him, pulled him over. They found 16 new iPhones and a brand new iPad still in their boxes in this guy's trunk. Anyway, he was arrested. He's facing 5 counts of larceny for mail and driving with a suspended license.
So the surprising part to me of this story is that he is able to just sit in a neighborhood and pick off iPhones. There's that many that are being delivered.
Apparently so.
On a regular basis that you would sit there and just pick off iPhones?
I mean, he had 16 in his car. So yeah, that sounds amazing. If for him waiting around for hours is worth it, if he's going to...
It was worth it.
He thought it was. Totally not. I don't know about you guys, but every time I write the word Florida... I always pronounce
Florida.
Yes.
I do the opposite. So anytime I talk about the state and it annoys my kids, I call it Florida. Anytime they talk about the artist, I call him Florida.
So I do
Is that a song by Florida?
My God, it is a dad thing. But I always say Florida when I write out Florida or when I'm talking about Florida.
You don't put the dash in, do you?
I don't. Anyway. Like, Florida weather isn't coming to Michigan, but Florida is coming to Michigan. He is going to be headlining the Detroit Auto Show's 2025 charity preview.
Nice.
So you can grab your tickets already. They're on sale. It's going to be held January 10th at Huntington Place in Detroit. Tickets, $400 each, $700 for a pair, available at the Detroit Auto Show website.
We had some Florida weather the last couple of days.
We sure did. Yep. It was beautiful.
Auto Show's just right around the corner.
It is.
I still can't get used to it being at this time of year.
No, it's normally always in January. They moved it to the spring.
Right. Oh,
they moved it back.
It's back, yes.
It's back.
Yes. So you keep talking about it like, it's always
January
been
10th.
January, yeah. You're talking about it like it's going to be now.
No, it's going to be in January. But they moved it to like the springtime that was unsuccessful.
Right. And then I could never figure out when it was.
It's Heather with the news. It's Thursday, which means Thursday touchdown, 6 football questions, and the extra point. It's next. It's 97.1. That time of the week, a series of football questions. Let's hit it.
All right. Happy Halloween, boys. We got a Thursday night game tonight, and it's the Jets-Texans, and I always love an NFL game on Halloween because you just never know what you might see in the stands.
I know. It's always entertaining.
Oh, the costumes?
Yeah.
And the game's in New York, too, right?
Yeah.
All kinds of characters. Did you see the Jets are favored in that game?
Yeah. When is the Aaron Love going to finally... Like, when are they going to come to the realization that it's just done?
Texans are banged up, and I think the Jets play one of their good games tonight. I can kind of see why they're favored.
Yeah.
All right. Michigan State hosts 13th ranked and undefeated Indiana this Saturday. Do you give the Spartans any chance to win this game outright? And if they do, should the fans storm the field?
I don't necessarily know that beating Indiana, even though they are undefeated, is a fan storming moment.
They're undefeated.
I understand that.
Late in the season.
I have more respect for Michigan State fans than thinking that they're going to view that as a huge program
win.
Okay,
but do you think they can win outright?
It's a rare occasion where I would say no to this question, that I don't think that that's a possibility. I do think it is a possibility, and I'm not going to put a percentage on. It's not likely that they win outright, but if this is the first game where Michigan State does not turn the ball over, one of the things that they are good at is defending the pass, somewhat. It's where some of their talent is. I think that they can be a team that can get this. It's at home into the fourth quarter and then make something happen.
In terms of storming the field, I mean, this is a rivalry game, John. The brass spittoon is on the line. I mean, come on, get emotional. The path to a win, it exists. I think some of this is going to depend on the quarterback for Indiana. It sounds like Rourke is tracking to play, but will he be rusty on the road? Michigan State has done a good job.
One week that he was off.
Right, but he got like surgery on his thumb. Like, is it clean? Is he comfortable? Is it?
Yeah.
I just think it's a question mark for the game, right?
Sure.
So you're going to need them to be a little off kilter for Michigan State, and then you're going to need a big day from Aiden Chiles. We keep waiting for him to steal a game.
Yep.
At home, maybe he steals a game.
Yeah. I think it's possible. Sure.
I like the spot that State's in this week. I think that college occasionally will have these spot games. This is a nice spot to potentially pull off an upset for Michigan State. All right, Ryan Day is 1-4 in his last five games against top five teams. James Franklin is 3-18 against top 10 teams overall. And he's 1-9 against Ohio State. What gives on Saturday?
This is so gross.
I know.
Someone has to win, right?
Yes.
They're not allowed to tie. Someone has to win. Greg kind of tipped the hand early in the week. I do think it's Penn State. I do think at home.
Again, a spot.
A spot for them. I don't trust Ohio State, John. I don't. I'm not impressed.
Why would you?
I'm not impressed with them. I think Nebraska should have beat them a week ago. Maybe it's a look-ahead spot, and that explains it, but I don't think they're great up front on either side, but specifically the offensive line. If they don't get the ball moving, you let Penn State hang in there, make a play late, win the game at home, and James Franklin finally wins a big game.
Well, some of this is the entertainment value of what it would be like watching Ryan Day lose to James Franklin. That would be unbelievable. I mean, the rosy cheeks, the black hair, and just the tears streaming down his face. That would be amazing. But in terms of football sense, Drew Allar, another guy that is trending towards playing, he was on the practice field yesterday. Now, they were only able to see him throw the ball around early. I don't think he practiced a whole lot. I do think he will play, and he is motivated. He's an Ohio kid playing at Penn State, wants to beat Ohio State. I think it's the 1-2 punch they have in the backfield, but more importantly, it's the defense. It's the aggressive style that they play at Penn State that I think is what separates this game. It's at home. I do think Penn State wins this one.
All right, Bill Belichick said the Lions' offense is impossible to stop. This is the greatest defensive mind of all time. I think most agree, right? For Buddy Ryan in the one window or whatever. Yep. If you are game planning against the Lions' offense, how would you try to stop them? Does the Lions' offense have a weakness?
I don't necessarily know that they have a weakness, but if I'm trying to stop them, I'm going to look at a team that can rush the passer with four, and they've got the ability to defend the run with those four as well. And maybe it's and obviously you're not going to defend the run with just the four, but it's the ability to defend with really good linebackers. And the one that I go to is Kansas City. Defensively, with Karlaftis, Jones, that front, they have the ability to stop the run. They have allowed this year only 13 touchdowns. Now, on the positive side for the Lions, they've only allowed 14 touchdowns, but they don't have to blitz to try and apply pressure. Can they do it against this Lions offensive line? Can this offensive line stop that defensive line? That's how the style of defense that you need to try and defeat the Lions.
The other thing Kansas City does that you need to do against a team like Detroit is win pre-snap. You have to have a pressure coming from somewhere they don't anticipate because Goff, like all quarterbacks, I'm not singling him out, struggle when you have that unexpected pressure. Yeah, I mean, I think the safety has to be big in the run game when you play the Lions because you know if all else fails, they're going to default to just ground and pound. I think you have to have good run support players. In addition to what you said, John, your front has to be able to win the line of scrimmage in one-on-ones.
You know what? I think the Lions offense is the best offense in the NFL since probably Peyton Manning's first year in Denver. But I actually think it's better than that, and I would take it all the way back to the 2007 Patriots. And you know what? The blueprint's there. It's the Giants' blueprint from when they upset the undefeated Patriots. You've got to run the ball on the Lions. I think sometimes people give up on running on the Lions, and I know the Lions have a good run defense. So what? You got to do it because you got to reduce possessions. And an efficient offense can slow down the other team's offense. All right, Khalif Raymond is definitely a candidate for the next question, but there are many other candidates. Who is the unsung hero on the Detroit Lions?
This is so tough because we talk a lot about him. I don't know what qualifies as unsung, but I'm going to say Tim Patrick. A couple games in the season, his role got solidified. The offense took a step forward. He's underrated for this offense.
This is a tough one. I'm going to say Jack Fox. Oh. Being able to flip the field. I mean, in that game, just this past weekend, five punts, he averaged 61 yards a punt. On the season, he is averaging over 52 yards a punt. He's amazing.
before the season, Kirby Joseph, with the way he's played.
Do you realize right
he's
now,
not unsung anymore?
No, he grades out as the number two safety in all of football, according to PFF. You know who's number one?
Brian Branch.
They got one and two.
Brad Holmes has yet to make a trade for a defensive end. The trade deadline is next Tuesday. Are you becoming concerned or panicked that Holmes hasn't made a trade yet?
Nope. Plenty of time.
Can I say a little bit of both? Listen, I trust him, but I don't want the spin to be, we like our guys. Don't gaslight us. We're watching the same football team you are, Brad. Don't waste the opportunity.
Now, the guy that the Jim Costa wanted to draft a couple years ago, Anthony Richardson,
let's throw the flag.
Oh, no. I mean, it was anybody but Goff.
Come on. I knew that would get you. He wanted the next Lamar Jackson. Go ahead. You've changed on that. Anthony Richardson has been benched in favor of good old Joe Flacco. Do you think Richardson can be fixed and eventually become a franchise QB?
Well, the upside's always there. I mean, when you're big, when you're strong, when you got a good arm and you can move, there's always tools. They're between a rock and a hard place because he needs to play to get better, but they aren't 2-6. They're 4-4, and you got 52 other guys in that locker room who are battered, bruised, and dare I say, tired, and they're still going out there and trying to play. This move felt like one to stay competitive.
Yeah. I'm not going to paint myself into a corner and say he can't be fixed. I'm not going to paint myself in a corner and say Michigan State can't win. But I don't see a future where he's a starting quarterback. You tap out on third down, and I thought, oh, he must have been running all over the field, or is a 70-yard? No, like what? I question his toughness. If I was a teammate, I that would be shocking to me.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I saw somebody tap out in the NFL game.
As a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean,
on a third down?
It's incriminating.
Make up an injury. You can't tell people after the game I was tired.
Yeah, limp off.
The Denver Broncos are 5-1 in their last six games. They currently sit as the 5 seed in the AFC, which is stunning. They travel to Baltimore this week as a 9.5-point underdog. Are we sleeping on the Broncos? And should Sean Payton get Coach of the Year consideration?
No. I don't necessarily know that we're sleeping on him. I am impressed, but I'm not impressed. I think the coach of the year right now would go to Mike Tomlin for what he's been able to do with Justin Fields, really, and Russell Wilson to be 6-2 in that division. Now, opponents haven't been great. They've had a couple of decent wins. They beat the Chargers. They beat the Falcons to start the season. Commanders and Ravens. Browns Bengals coming up. Now Browns Bengals, you could say maybe that's not, it's a division opponent. We saw what the Browns did in the division. The next three games will be very telling for the Steelers, but at this point it's Mike Tomlin.
Well, and the next three games will be telling for the Broncos. They're going to face Baltimore on the road, at Kansas City, and then the first place Falcons in the South. So far Denver has not beaten very many good teams. The only notable win is at Tampa Bay. I think their defense has played well. If they were to finish with 10 or more wins, I think Sean Payton deserves some Coach of the Year consideration.
Consideration, sure.
You have to see it against better teams, you know? I mean, but they haven't. The losses that they have are all to 500 or better teams.
That is the Thursday touchdown. It's 97-1.
Hey, the NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action because right now, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off or buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA. And maybe it's, you know, you place that bet because you want the NBA League Pass to watch LeBron and Bronny. Webby in San Antonio. Maybe you want to see if the Celtics can repeat. Maybe you want to see the demise of the Celtics. Whatever it is, you put that down, that $5 bet, you're going to get that NBA League Pass. If you're new to FanDuel, all you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. After 3 month trial, the full price of League Pass will automatically be charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thursday means two Grand Slam. Your chance to win $2,000 coming up at 7:25 today on this Halloween. You guys ready for tonight? I got the full-size candy bars set aside,
Look
ready
at
to
you.
Go. That's right. We do it right.
I think you were on last year, and it was the Costco package.
Yes.
And your wife sent you back with it last year, right?
Yes.
Because you had...
There was, I think, Baby Ruth in there, and the whole... It was old man candy. We don't have any old man candy
this
year.
No old man candy. You,
no.
You learned your lesson.
This is Kit Kat. This is Hershey's. This is Reese's. And we've got... We're stocked up. We're ready for the kids tonight.
The only old man candy in the house is Jim.
How did you know my nickname?
Come on.
You do the thing. I got to do the thing.
Man.
All right. Moving on. All right. We got the trade deadline coming up in less than a week in the NFL. And we've speculated, what will the Lions do? Your belief, John, is they will do something.
Yeah.
I believe they will do something. But there's always this pushback of, well, what if the asking price is too high? And what if Brad wants to? But it's almost like we build in an excuse. What if he can't get a deal done because they're asking for the moon and the stars? Well, we're starting to get some details for some asking prices. Za'Darius Smith is a name you and I have discussed. Cleveland Browns are on a losing team. He's been in the division. He's been a productive player. He signed this year and next year. He's a player you would be in favor of pursuing, right, John?
Sure.
Okay. But what's it going to take? Here's the report from Jeremy Fowler, ESPN.
All right. So... I when we were discussing this yesterday, texting back and forth, I couldn't remember exactly what his contract was. Fourth round pick for a guy on an expiring contract, I would have some pause. I asked you guys, is he under contract for two? You said yes. Do it now. Get it done. It's you're getting a guy that can be, I understand his age, and I'm not sitting here saying that he might not have injuries. He might have injuries. Mm-hmm. But you don't have, I mean, you can't go any higher than that because you don't have a third round pick.
You're not paying a second.
You had two fours, but you traded one to the Eagles for, you know, Sione Vaki. Is the one you got from the Eagles for DeAndre Swift. Let me ask you this. They have first and second round picks. They have a fourth, no third, because that went for Manu.
Mm-hmm.
If they make this trade, they're not picking from the second till the fifth.
Okay.
By your voice, it sounds like...
That's not really a deterrent to me. I agree. My opinion doesn't matter on this. The only one that matters is Brad, but... To me, it's easy. Yeah, I give up a fourth-round pick for Za'Darius Smith. I mean, John, they don't have any... They're playing practice squad guys. We're under a week from the deadline. Someone else is going to trade for Za'Darius Smith, and then what? They're going to be left holding the bag going, well, we couldn't get Garrett and Crosby because they weren't available. We couldn't get Trey Hendrickson because he wasn't available. I guess we'll roll Isaiah Thomas and practice squad. Like, they can't do that. They have to do something. And I'd venture to say they might, if they're going to go lower end, want to pursue two guys.
Yes, sign me up.
Because if you're not going to get the one big splash and trade a first or a second, you might be better off trading a fourth and a sixth and trying to get a couple guys just to go, hey, we want to have some depth at the position, because quite literally right now we've lost three guys at the position.
Well, yeah, and sometimes that injury bug just does get into a room, and I know it's all chance, but you kind of see that trend where, okay, it's Davenport, it's Kaminsky, and then it's Hutch, and now you're looking at it going, oh, man, we're really thin, and I'm 100% behind the and supporting getting two guys versus just the one. And if it's Za'Darius Smith and it's a fourth round pick, and here's the difference too. If you don't get Za'Darius Smith in that fourth round, what are you going to have in the next 2 years? Now, yeah, you could get an Amon-Ra St. Brown, but those gems aren't always there. Even though Brad Holmes is really good at finding draft picks, I would take Za'Darius Smith for the next 2 years versus whoever they're going to draft in the fourth round next year.
I know we're not allowed to question Brad Holmes, but I would question him if they don't get Za'Darius Smith and hang on to a fourth round pick, where they've used the fourths historically on project tackles, special teams, fringe players who aren't immediate impact guys. You are one of the best. You might be the best team in football.
Yeah.
The idea that you wouldn't use that fourth, trade in that chip right now and try to win a Super Bowl, to me, would be negligent. I think it would be a mistake.
I agree. And for Za'Darius Smith, especially a guy that's very familiar with the division. Yep. He's been with the Bears. He's been with Green Bay. I'm sorry, with the Vikings, not the Bears. Yeah. I mean, that seems to me to be a no-brainer. And if that's on the table, I don't know why it's not done now.
Unless he's waiting for something bigger.
Or, I mean, I don't... If Cleveland is open to offers, what would be the benefit for them saying, we're going to wait till Monday?
The benefit for Cleveland to wait?
Yeah.
To get the best offer, I guess. Someone gets more desperate than the Lions. Someone gets an injury this weekend. I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of is can you create,
right,
a, feeding,
I
can you create
know,
a feeding frenzy?
But I don't know anybody who across the NFL is that desperate for Za'Darius Smith, that they would give up a third.
No, that's the point.
Or a higher fourth. That's the only other thing.
Yes, because the Lions' fourth will be a late fourth. And if I'm the Lions, maybe they're trying to negotiate and they're starting at a fifth and seeing, hey, you let us know if someone ups our offer, but we're not going to overpay right now. And maybe there's a game of cat and mouse or game of chicken leading up to the deadline. But I hope if push comes to shove, Brad doesn't get left holding the bag and doing nothing. That just doesn't feel like it's acceptable.
No, it doesn't, because there's a glaring need. And we don't know what Brad Holmes is going to do, because Brad Holmes and the Lions have not been in this situation. This is completely different than last year. And we had this conversation about creating somebody opposite Aiden Hutchinson last year at the trade deadline. It didn't happen. We talked about it in the offseason. It was Marcus Davenport. We weren't thrilled about it, hoping that he would stay healthy. And he was when he played parts of two games. They need to do something. They've admitted over the last 2 weeks, not enough production out of the edge on defense.
It was in the Thursday touchdown. Are you starting to get anxious or nervous that Holmes isn't going to make a move? Asking price for Za'Darius Smith is reportedly a fourth. Doesn't feel like that's ridiculous or anything that's
out of line.
And if you need a little nudging as to why the Lions really should be in all-in mode, we'll play some audio coming up next. It's 97.1.